This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
Well, even those Chinese giants, they're big.
Well, you know, when I was a boy.
Whoa, now, take it easy now. You sure you're going to remember this when you was a boy?
When I was a boy, I worked at a college part-time and cleaning up, and they were experimenting on seeds and stuff, and they had some pumpkin, cantaloupe, and watermelon seeds. And I says, and of course, I got friends with some of the scientists in there, and they gave me these watermelon and pumpkin seeds. And they gave me a special fertilizer and said, go plant them and try them out. And I went up on this hill and I planted them. And they were growing. They were getting huge. And then one day we had a heck of a storm. I mean, it just blew and rained like crazy. And broke two of them there watermelons off, and they rolled down that hill, hit a fence, and drowned the three cows.
Good thing you didn't break one of those tomatoes.
I thought he was going to say, you know, I had a big compost pile in the back here, and I planted my sweet potatoes in there. Soft soil, perfect, you know, real rich. I planted, they were doing good. Next thing I know, somebody else liked them too, the deer. Ate every sweet potato plant I had. I said,
well, the pumpkins I grew that year, they were so big that my great grandfather, he went and took a chainsaw and cut the door and a couple of windows in it, and that was the first one I was ever home.
Wouldn't you love to have a pumpkin that big?
Was it two story?
No.
That's just one story.
It's one story.
I read in the
farmers don't lie.
I mean, come on, you have a pumpkin when you use a chainsaw.
The farmers don't lie. Come on.
No. They might tell a story, but that's all.
Yeah.
Well, I seen in the either the AARP magazine today or the Times magazine this morning where it said, don't eat your watermelon, drink it. If you got the bug or anything like that, you'll recover much, much faster from drinking watermelon
juice.
Yeah, because it has so many antioxidants in it and
I love watermelon.
And vitamins.
Yeah, I love watermelon.
So it said, drink it. You know why they got so much water in them? Don't you eat watermelons?
Was it
planted in the spring?
That's true.
Yeah. That's probably what that was up on top of that mountain, was a nice fresh spring up there.
Great-great-great-grandfather. Regardless of what Pee-wee believes, they were really big.
Yeah.
I would love that, because you have pumpkin contests every year. They show.
Well, that's the one.
They had big pumpkins.
They had a guy that one your grandfather planted. That kid climbed 30 foot up on it, didn't he?
I don't know. He climbed a long way. I don't know.
Did you ever watch them, Phil, how they baby those pumpkins that they show? You know, they have that every year.
I've seen little bits and pieces of that show where they have the pumpkins sitting on a pallet.
They keep them so they don't stay.
Well, one of my grandfather built high school a lot better than that.
Well, it had to be. These was probably some of the call seeds that they threw away.
No, they were called shed pumpkins.
Oh, shed pumpkins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm still back on those two watermelons drowning those three cows.
Yeah,
that was a big splash.
That's a big splash, man.
That's a tidal wave.
I like to have those seeds.
Okay, kids. Ron, why don't you open us a prayer?
Dear Lord, it's a privilege tonight to be a part of the family of God. It's a privilege to know that we're born again, having the experience of you living inside of us, socializing with people that also have the Holy Ghost in them, and just gives us joy and peace that the world doesn't understand yet. We plan on learning tonight more about your word, that we can spread the gospel to people in our neighborhoods and in our towns, wherever we're at, Lord, be on our lips to talk about you and your goodness and salvation. We ask your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, so we're down on
page 5 of 8.
Page 5 of 8.
And love and prayer.
Section 4, down near the bottom. All right, well, we're going to talk about it in a minute.
That's a good idea.
Okay. So I'm going to read this paragraph again. I know we read it last week, but I'm going to read it again. We're going to spend some time in James tonight. We may spend the whole class in James because it's important to understand what's being said here. So I'm going to read this one little paragraph.
This James is Jesus' brother.
Yes.
Did you know that? Well, that's true. This is the real brother. He was the apostle over the church in Jerusalem.
I didn't know Jesus had a brother.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Big family.
Four brothers and
family. Big family.
Yeah.
They all came to him one time. He said, "Your mother, your brothers, and sisters." He said, "This is my brothers and sisters. This is my family."
Yeah, he's got quite a few.
Yeah.
He figures she was only about 14 or 15 years old when she got married.
She was busy.
She was a busy girl, and he, yeah. You know, Jesus didn't touch her until after.
And they weren't
Jesus
Amish either.
Was born, so.
They weren't Amish. Just a big family.
Yeah.
I thought my parents was Amish, but we couldn't afford the clothes. There's 12 of us. That sounds right down there,
right? Sounds about right, yeah.
If you get 12 kids, you ought to be Amish or Quaker.
Yeah, but they all wear the same thing, so it's easy.
It's all hand-me-downs. Yeah. The oldest was the best dressed. Getting the hand-me-down. Be down to me, man. I tell you what, we went to school looking ragged.
Yeah. But we had six kids and one pair of shoes. I get to wear them every 6 days.
Yeah.
It's getting worse here.
You can look
good. Deep, yeah.
You can look good on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, Sunday wasn't the day I got a chance to wear.
Everybody's barefoot, yeah. Day of rest. Rest your shoes. Well, yeah, it's very important to rest your shoes on Sunday because it says that on the Sabbath it's rest. Yeah. I mean, even shoes got soles.
That's right.
So they need to rest. Rest your weary soul, right, Earl?
That's right.
Go ahead, Phil. can you get started now?
I'm just rolling with the wind here. That's all I'm
Phil's going, oh.
Yeah. I wish he'd get started so we could stop this nonsense.
I'm just going with the wave here. All right. So we're in section 4 down near the bottom. Earl, you know where we're at there?
Yeah, love and prayer.
Okay, love and prayer. Love is an essential ingredient of prayer. Love supplies the communication or the love line with God. The love line activates your faith and gets things done while sin breaks this line of communication between you and God, okay? It's only when you operate in love that God talks to you, that you have communication with God. Remember, sin is the opposite of scriptural agape love and has no fellowship with it. Okay, last week we read 1 John 3:18-24. Okay, we're going to read James chapters 1 and 2. Okay,
towards the back.
And what we're going to do is look at 8 places in those 2 chapters where God says, if you sin, you'll royally mess up. Okay, and we're going to look at all 8 of those places.
Right after Hebrews. Towards the back, girl. Just a little bit before Revelation. If you see Peter, it's right before that.
I'm getting her.
And if you get to Peter, Paul, and Mary, you just sit there and listen to this music.
We'll have a folk song. We'll have a singing if you get Peter, Paul, and Mary, right?
What page?
James. There's James.
Yeah, James. There it is.
And
right down here.
Right here. And we're going to start right here in verse 1.
First one, We got her. All right.
We got her.
All right.
So we're going to read James 1 and 2 tonight.
James chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay?
Yep.
And Ron, I'd like you to start James 1, 1 through 5.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Okay, So
that's a pretty good promise.
So this is James, the servant of God.
Yep.
So this isn't just anybody. This is the James, okay? And he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing to who? The brothers and sisters, right? Verse 2, it says, my brethren, right?
Yeah, he's writing to the 12 tribes.
Yep. And it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Notice it didn't say that when you're attacked, you lose, that's good for you. He says just the trying of it and the victory over it is what works strength in your heart, right? Makes you stronger, okay? So,
and also, it also gives you a lot more information that when it says, which are scattered abroad, reads.
Yes.
He said these people has already left Jerusalem.
Yes.
Now this is between 60 and 62, 63, before Jerusalem was going to fall. But because of the persecution that is going on so strong in there, a lot of the Christian Jews
left.
And so that's why he said to them that scattered abroad, he said, you're out of town, I've got to encourage you. Because
yep.
There was a lot of other Jewish synagogues that Paul preached in, Christ preached in, that received Jesus Christ. A lot of their rabbis received Jesus Christ. So that's also what he's writing. I just want to show you that. They were scattered abroad.
Yep.
That means they didn't say, well, let's go move that town, see what we can do. They was encouraged to move by the corrupt.
Okay. Once again, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, of whatever temptations you fall into, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when you have victory over those trials and tribulations and things that come against you, it strengthens you, it lifts you up, gives you the strength to overcome other things, right? When you went to school and the teacher told you 1 + 1 = 2, well, when you're a little kid, that's a big deal, yeah. Right?
It still is.
So you had to go over it several times before you really wrapped your head around it, right?
Earl Stein guy, he thinks 1 + 1 = 11.
So this whole learning process is about going through trials and tribulations and things that come up against you, but each time you do it, you strengthen yourself and understand how to do it better. So as you go through life, you're continually strengthening yourself. What happens is, sometimes people get tired of trying and they fail, okay? And they get stuck someplace where they don't grow, okay?
Right.
Something, and it's different for each person. You know, there's a roadblock, a wall that they run into that really stops them, okay? And until they overcome that, they won't grow any higher. They're right there where they are. Now, in other areas, they may be very good. But this is all about being a full, complete person. So the trying of your patience, or whatever's attacking you, that's a wall or a barrier, and a adversity that you need to overcome to move to the next level. So you're constantly growing, constantly learning. Okay.
Yeah, the things that you started out with that are very difficult,
though, that's right.
The heaviest thing you ever went through. You look back now, you help other people say, no, look, I've been there.
Yeah.
You can come through that. It's not as hard as you think. It just looks hard because that's where you're at. One of these days, you're going to look back and say, that wasn't so bad.
Yes, that's right.
Because you grew.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because you grow. And you grow because you keep doing things over again. You know, you go to work for some company and they have you do some job. Well, at first, it's really hard. When I worked for industrial engineers, they had an analogy that they used to use. Industrial engineers time how fast people do things, and they talk about people who are super skilled, people who have special skills higher than what normal people have, and they talked about a shoe inspector, supposedly a true story. I wasn't there, I don't know.
Well, Shoeman would lie.
Well, anyhow, the...
One size fits all.
Anyhow, in this shoe factory, they were making shoes, and at the end of the shoe making process, they had an inspector standing there. And the inspector would take... They had, like, chains going overhead with shoes on a hook that were just made. And the inspector would take a shoe off of the hook and inspect it, and then put it back on a different hook, and it would go on and be packed, right? So this one particular inspector was like super skilled because he used to be a juggler in a circus.
Oh.
And so what he would do is he would grab the shoe, look at it, and he could flip it over his shoulder and hit the hook every time.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So he would grab the shoe, inspect it, and just flip it, right? Rather than looking for the chain, he had it all timed so exactly that he didn't have to even look where the hook was. He'd just flip it and hit it.
Sounds like a little bit like a watermelon story.
Well, no. Supposedly it's a true story.
I think he juggled the books on that one. He said he got more shoes.
Not if he knew the timing of it. I can see where...
Yeah, because it's all a chain.
It's all timing anyhow for juggling. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So anyhow, that's a super skilled person. But see, you have to have lots of underlying skills and practice to get that good at it. So not everybody gets to that level.
If he didn't learn juggling...
That's
at
right.
an early age, you couldn't have done it for that.
That's right.
So that's the importance of learning all you can learn about different things.
That's right.
It complements other things.
That's right.
You know what? Dave is super skilled, but we just haven't found out what it is yet.
I thought we found out we were super skilled at not being super skilled.
Okay.
But we're working on it.
But you're super skilled because you learn a lot of things and eventually get very good at it. Mm-hmm. And it comes because you overcome different adversities,
right.
And you learn things, and then you became really knowledgeable about it.
Well, that's what the trials, like you said, trials, tribulations, temptations. Once you overcome one by one, you become stronger in that area. You don't make that same mistake, and you get better and better and better as you go on.
You have more confidence,
yes.
and more. The problem that you had at first that was a big deal to you. No longer is much of a big deal as it used to be.
Right.
Okay, verse 5, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to you to all men liberally and abrideth not, and it shall be given to you. Verse 6, but him that asketh in faith...
Wait, 6 yet, we haven't read 1 through 5.
Yeah.
It's my turn.
Oh, okay.
We're going this way, don't you? Go
all right.
Well, he did that 2 weeks ago. I had to get it. He's got two pages.
I did a little roll.
He's kind of pushing his side a little bit.
He's one of those super skilled people. Flip the pages instead of the shoes. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavered is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother a low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away.
Yep.
Stop.
Okay. Go back to verse 6, and it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and wind-tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So this is the first one I want to talk about. These are things that come up that really not only just stop people, but really... bring them to a point where they don't go any further.
Right.
Okay? And they all go back to walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Everybody has excuses for their failures, okay? But people who are really serious with God overcome the failures and learn from them and grow. Right? There's like... You see kids in school, right? And they start teaching them things like 1 + 1 = 2. Well, over time, they all work at it enough where they get it, right? But there's always some kid who wants to throw spit wads and do all kinds of other stuff. who's really not interested and doesn't want, you know, like Peterman, right? And
I don't know. I think that was a compliment.
but it, that's what I'm getting to, though, is the fact that these are things you overcome because you make a quality decision that you're going to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You make a quality decision that you're going to learn a skill and overcome the problem.
Well, if your faith not put to the test, it won't grow.
That's right.
And you gotta, you either grow or you don't grow.
That's right.
And it's your choice.
That's exactly right. It's your choice, and the way you choose decides on whether you get any further or not. Right? Well, if you make a quality decision, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to learn this. If I pass out doing it, right? I mean, you're just digging your heels. I'm going to learn this. I don't care what it is. I'm going to learn it.
And you can all, I've experienced getting a word from another person.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That uplifts. And if they don't know anything about my trials.
That's right.
But they'll say something and I'll go, oh, wow, that's true.
It gets you through it.
That works.
And it lifts me up.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight is in James chapter 1 and chapter 2, there are 8 places in there where God identifies places where people fail. Just stop. Okay? And we're going to talk about each one of them as we go. But now, do they stop because God wanted them to stop? No. They stopped because they gave up. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, and that's where walking the walk and talking the talk comes in, is you'll walk the walk if you make a quality decision that that's what you're going to do. And you'll stay there and learn until you overcome whatever the problem is, right? Everybody has problems. Everybody's got Satan attacks everybody, all of it. But you can overcome it if you make a quality decision to overcome it, to dig in your heels and say, you know what, this is a big problem for me. It may not be a big problem for somebody else. But for me, this is a big problem, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to fix it. Okay. So this is what we're going to talk about. Okay. So the first one is, let him that asks in faith waver not. Right.
Yeah.
So don't be double-minded. Don't guess about it. Are you going to do this or not?
If you say you're going to do it, do it.
Do it. Right. Do it. And Satan will push you to the point where you say, you know what? I've tried it, and 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 it hasn't worked.
But you know something, Phil? When you get that, say, but I'm going to keep trying it because I notice what the Word says. I tell you, when I used to drive the Sunday school bus, I'd go out campus, and I wouldn't come home to the bus before.
Yeah.
And I even told people, I said, well, you show me what room to sleep in, because I ain't going home until you tell me your kids are going. I keep them up to midnight. That's how the kids are going. If somebody did that to me, I'd throw them out of the house. But, you know, every time somebody said no,
yeah,
I'm knocking on the doors and asking to go to church with me on Sunday morning on the Sunday school bus. Every time he said no, I said, every no is closer to a yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Didn't we do that, honey? Yeah. I said, every no is closer to yes. Somebody's going to say yes right down the pike here because I got all these no's. Somebody's got to say yes. I'm getting closer to a yes. And I always said, never worried about the nose. And I'd always try to take a kid with me from that neighborhood that was going on the Sunday school bus because the other kids would know him.
That's
and
right.
I figured that out. And saying, nobody's going here. Next thing you know, we had the whole development.
Yep. All you need is one kid that knows everybody and say, oh, man, you want to come to Sunday school with me.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, Ronnie had a real good Sunday school class. We had about 50 kids in his class.
Wow.
We filled up two classes.
Two classes, 50 each.
Had about four.
You had a 50-kid Sunday school class?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you, dude.
No, I counted.
Karen did. I was working in her class. She was the teacher.
Okay.
But they did the crafts. The kids loved it. Mm-hmm. And I'd bring the kids on the buses. And I don't know how many bus routes we started. But we had other people driving the bus. I'd fill the bus up. Somebody else, and I'd take two kids from that bus and go and start another bus and stuff like that. And we just packed their classes out. And he's telling you, two Sunday school classes every Sunday packed out. And there's about four or five workers in there, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Craft, making crafts and, you know, stories about Jesus, crafts mm-hmm. and things.
Wow.
And that was only one class. I mean, that was only that one age group.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of classes in there.
Wow. Okay. Verse 7, it says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways."
In everything.
So you need to be focused, single-minded about the things of God. Verse 9, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away."
He'll die eventually.
"For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass and the flower."
Wait a minute, Phil. You're taking.
Oh, I'm going too far. Okay, I'm.
Yeah. Well, that's two corrections.
I get on a roll. You're not reading, right?
Right.
Okay.
I got it.
Earl's going to read 10. He's going to read Peter.
11.
No, I mean, you're going to read 10 scriptures. You're going to read Peter. Yeah.
I do anything for Pee-wee. "For no sooner has the sun risen when a burning heat, than it withers the grass. Its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, or does he himself tempt anyone. 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full growth, brings forth death."
Okay. So these things here, he's got several things listed here, but the important one starts down on 13. See, first he talks about, in verse 10, he starts talking about the rich man and the low man, okay?
Well, remember he gave a parable about that too, Christ did, the rich man and the poor man.
That's right.
The poor man.
Yeah.
And he did that, and James was, you know, knowing that, because James was with him when he said that.
That's right. Okay, but that parable leads into another one that sort of finalizes the whole thing. That's an example. If you look at verse 11, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish, so also shall the rich man fade away in his way." Verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." That's when he's tried and wins. Okay? You don't get the crown of life unless you win. "Which the Lord hath promised to them who love him." The word says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
Okay. So this is a person who keeps the commandments and walks the walk. Right? "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So, these are the two evils that get him. One, when he's drawn away of what? His own lust.
Right.
I desire to do this, you know, no matter what God says, I desire to do this. And I'm enticed. Now, enticing is different than lust, because lust comes from you.
Flesh talking.
That's the flesh talking.
That's good. That's it.
Okay. Enticing is when someone else gets involved in it. Okay. So someone says, "Okay, guys, I tell you what, we all need money. Let's go down and rob a bank." Right? There's lots of money at the bank. Right? That's enticing. Okay. Someone instigates you to do something that you know is not right. Okay. So that enticing comes in several forms. One is Satan talks to you and says, just talks to you and says, "Hey, let's go deal some drugs. Let's go do, let's go rob the bank or whatever on your own," right? So this is one that really gets you. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Yeah. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is number two. Huh?
I said that's when sin's done with you. It's done with you. You die.
That's right.
And held in with sin.
That's right. I hate this person so bad that I don't care what they do, I'm going to hate them until I die.
You really shouldn't hate anybody.
No. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. But you'd be surprised. This person has wronged me so bad.
You can dislike them a lot, but you really shouldn't hate them.
Well, you know what my mom used to say? She's talking about, she said, I don't like that person at all. And our grandson, Steve, he said, Mama, you know you're supposed to love him. She says, you only have to love him enough to get into heaven. Don't have to like them, just love them enough to get to heaven.
But I mean, it's a problem though. A lot of people suffer from it though.
Sure it is.
And you know, this person, you know, hurt somebody I know, my kids or whatever, right?
Yep.
They did this and they did that. You know, and I'm never going to forgive them.
Yeah.
Right? You hear it. I mean,
you hear it a lot.
That's where people go take a gun or whatever, go kill somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this one here is temptation number two, where in yourself and from outside influences, you're drawing away from God to do stuff that, you know, hate or anger. You go to Galatians chapter 5 and just read the list, right? Envy, strife, all of it, right? Mm-hmm. All ends in sin. You have to be able to say, this person is not worth me dying for.
Right?
Right? I don't care what they've done to me. I am not going to go to hell because of what that person did.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you hear, you're right, Phil, when you hear it, because we knew Marlene's sister when she had cancer, and we went up there and prayed for her, and she had so much hate and unforgiveness, and she wouldn't do it.
The Lord spoke to her.
To her.
Was there.
Yeah.
And told her, you know, she's got to forgive. And she came home from the hospital. She accepted Christ. She was doing good. Come home from the hospital, and she said, "I won't forgive her." It was somebody that she said, "I can't forgive her." Yes, she can. Can't forgive her.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's hard sometimes. I understand.
She went right back in the hospital.
Yep.
After she made those statements, she said, "I can't forgive." She got in the hospital. She still said, "I can't forgive."
Mm-hmm.
She blew up with cancer like a blooming dog.
Boom. Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Young kid.
That's your word.
Shame.
Your words speak death.
Your word speaking power.
Yeah.
That's right. It's, I certainly understand. You know, if your kids get hurt by some, you know, drug dealer or something, I understand being mad.
It's revenge.
You know, I get it. Huh?
All they think about is revenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Revenge and the hate that just eats your guts out.
Yeah.
Right. The hate that just eats your guts out.
Yeah.
Not theirs. Right. God is the judge.
Oh,
God will take care of it.
If it's a drug dealer, he's going to keep on selling drugs. You hate him, he don't hate you.
Yeah.
If your kid dies because they got overdose of drugs in Baltimore, he don't care. There's more people wanting him. He'll get another dealer.
Yeah. That's right.
And so that's what, like Earl said, it's revenge. You just want to kill him. Remember that story, I don't know what it was, Charles Branson played in it. And he moved from one city to the other to track down all these other bad people.
Yeah.
And he asked that one guy, he says, "You believe in Jesus?" He said, "They're all cowards when they're by themselves." He says, "Yeah." He said, "You're getting ready to see him. Boop. You're going to go meet him." Yeah. So, but that guy wasn't ready to meet Jesus either.
Yeah.
You know? He was a coward. He just didn't think that Charles Bronson was going to kill him.
And
he killed them all one at a time.
Yeah.
He even went to an institution. I mean, that's hate, that's hate, that's hate.
Yeah.
They killed his wife, and he was just unforgiving.
His wife and daughter.
Yeah.
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 And that's what it could do. It's like a cancer.
That's right.
It just eats at you, eats at you, eats at you.
It eats your whole insides, eats your brain out, everything.
Everything. Because you can't function. It's all you can think of is getting even with that person that did wrong to you.
That's right.
But you watch sometimes in 48 hours in 2020 where, like say, the guy killed the wife or killed the husband or the kids, and you'll see those people go up and they say, "I forgive you."
Yeah, in the court.
In the court.
Yeah.
They'll forgive them because they knew that they have to do that. Might not like what they did to their family, but they knew if they continued with that hatred,
they would die.
They would die. Yeah.
And worse than dying, they would end up in hell.
Yeah, spiritual death.
They would die a physical death and a spiritual death.
And just said, right? Where the woman.
Well, people don't realize that, though. They think, you know, getting even.
That's for God to do.
That's right.
That's God's business. You know, and God doesn't want you in his business, right? You have enough stuff to do that God has given you to operate in love.
God only wants you to have victory.
Yeah, that's right.
Over that.
Usually sooner or later down the road.
They'll get theirs.
He'll get his doing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the woman a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you've seen it or not, the woman that killed her daughter, raped her, and she lived. I forget how many times she was stabbed or something. And she lived, and when they was in the courtroom, and she had to learn to talk all over again. She had an awful time talking. And she was went in the courtroom, and she stood there and looked at that guy, and her husband had to help her to read because she couldn't speak. I mean, and she wrote it in here and said, "I forgive you. If I don't forgive you, I lose."
Yes.
And said there wasn't a dry eye to judge everybody's in your room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because her strength, after what she went through.
Yeah.
And she, you know, he's going to jail. I don't know if he went to death row or not. I don't have no idea. But he's in jail and she's free. And she let him know that I'm going to be free from this. I forgive you. I had to forgive.
Yes.
And you know, that's really heavy. Somebody that's going to kill your kid and you get up there and say, I'm forgiving.
That's right. But it's all about you. See,
that's strong.
Your real victory. See, there's no sickness, no death in heaven.
Right.
Right? So when you get to heaven, all of your problems
are gone.
Right? So your great victory is surviving whatever happens here, getting to heaven, and then God fixes everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the issue becomes if you don't forgive, if you don't follow the word, what happens is you end up in hell with all of those people
who
are going to torment you forever.
Well, I used to tell a lot of people, because you said you end up in hell, Will, that they went to go to church because they said, I ain't going to church, all no hypocrites. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, let me give you a suggestion. And tell you something very important. You're way better off going to church with those hypocrites than you are going to hell with them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everybody in church ain't going to heaven.
That's right.
Just because they went to a church assembly.
Just because they go to church doesn't mean
they're going to heaven. The mafia went to church.
Huh?
The mafia people went to
church. Oh, yeah. Mafia people donated to churches and stuff like that.
Big money.
And they're still all ending up in hell.
Yeah. As good deeds does not do you any good unless you're a Christian.
That's right.
Because you can be, you know, like those gangsters, they can get billions of dollars if they want to. That doesn't buy you way.
Well, they thought the priest was going to get them there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think the priest is going to get you there.
He's just a man in a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
Do anything.
Your relationship with Christ comes from you repenting
backwards
and receiving Christ into your heart.
That's exactly
period.
Right.
Yep. He's a preacher. Don't even have to put his collar on. He always gets it backwards.
Yep.
Right or wrong?
That's right.
Okay, well, that brings us to
15.
It says, and then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's a good verse there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I like
it. Right on the money.
Right on the money, yeah.
Okay, then I get the next
slide. Oh, you go for it, buddy. You've been waiting a long time.
Am I being picked on?
You? Earl might pick on you, I would.
Okay, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, mm-hmm. and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness,
amen.
Neither shadow of turning.
That's right.
Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of his first fruit, that we should be the same thing, right?
Yep.
Loving, caring, forgiving people, right? Verse 19, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Whoa, is that a biggie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slow to wrath.
That's a biggie, too.
For the wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. And that's what we've been talking about, is people who get over and hate and anger and all. For the wrath, yeah, that's verse 20.
That's it, yeah. Hold on there now.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just stopping you. Verse 20, you did your
Yeah, yes, okay.
No.
Again, Phil. Okay, but this is leading. Okay, this section here, you can sit here and say each of these things, you know, because we're going through a whole lot of them here, but they're all sort of clumped together in little groups. So you get a couple of examples, and then he hits you with something. So the real zinger is coming up. Okay, Ron.
Well, another thing there, Phil, in verse 16, he tells you, do not err, my beloved brother, that you be careful with this.
Yes.
You handle this with kids close. Don't screw it up.
That's right.
You're going to get false doctrine if you start doing that, because you'll get a false doctrine, you'll start saying it so much, you'll get believing it.
Yeah.
Or you'll be listening so much to stuff. That's why I thought he said, you listen to what they're saying. And then he said, but don't err.
Yeah.
He said, you let them talk and you listen. And if it don't come up with the word of God, then it's not God. A very important thing was, and Timothy, I don't know if you remember when we studied that, the scripture, it says, Paul's telling Timothy, you study the scripture to show yourself approved, a worthy servant, rightly divided the word of truth, you know, a man that needs not be ashamed.
That's right.
Now, Paul's telling Timothy to study the scriptures, right?
Yep.
And that's what we're doing now, right?
Yep.
But when Paul told Timothy to study the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth, there wasn't a New Testament.
That's right.
He's telling you study the scrolls,
yes.
Which we call the Old Testament now.
Yep.
He said you study that and you prove Jesus from that.
Yes.
You show them Jesus coming and all the promises coming. So when people tell you, oh, I believe in Jesus, that's not enough to say that I believe there was a Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe that, you know, the 23rd Psalm or something. Mm-hmm. Because you can get that from somebody who just left the Moose Lodge. You can get that from somebody that just left the gin mill from anywhere, or any dance hall or whatever. But say, I know the 23rd Psalm is really nice. Yeah, I went to church and watched my kids' Christmas play. That was really nice. Yeah, Paul said, you study the scriptures and you'll see all these promises. By his stripes you were healed. You'll see all them, what the Apostle Peter's talking about in 2 Peter 2:24, it said, by his stripes you were healed. So you'll see all that coming to life. Peter learned that from them. Peter learned that from seeing Christ, and Peter is preaching it. He says, and I'm preaching it, and I knew those scriptures, and he's telling me, you studied those scriptures. You studied.
It's your responsibility.
The Old Testament proves there's Jesus Christ.
Yes. But it's your responsibility to do it.
Oh, yeah.
See, just sitting there listening to the preacher talk, I mean, that's nice and you'll get stuff from it, but that's like the baby step. But now, as you grow in Christ, you need to take a grown-up step. You need to put your big boy pants on, right?
Yeah.
And when you put your big boy pants on, you actually get into the Word yourself and you actually do it yourself.
Well, our responsibility, too, as a Christian, is that we share the Word not just with believers, but with unbelievers.
That's right.
Because by our words, that helps lead other people into the Lord. Because when you talk about the Lord, I mean, you don't have to, you know, condemn them.
Say you're going to hell. That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, if you just talk to them and on a nice level.
You don't draw them away.
And give them the glory of God, especially your own private testimony. I think that's what gets the people the most.
You know, one of the things I get out of Promise Keepers is working with other denominations. Now, do I completely agree with everything those other denominations say?
No.
But I have an opportunity to talk to them. And little by little, I have an opportunity to help them.
Right.
Okay? And there's occasions when I learn from them also. You know? So, but even those denominations where you think, man, these guys are so far out in the universe, you know, they don't even know the basics. Well, now you have an opportunity, just little by little, share it with them and open doors for them, okay?
That's the key.
Why you study the scriptures.
Yeah. That's right.
And the scriptures will unlock your future to be bright in Christ. You know, and when Paul was telling Timothy, he's telling that to Timothy, you search the scriptures, you study the scriptures to show yourself approved, and here's why. Way back in the scriptures in the Old Testament, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they had rejected knowledge. Because they didn't know what was the truth and what wasn't the truth. It was getting it from the synagogues, the temple, you know, from a political correctness thing that was political correct for the Jews. But he said, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. So you need to study the scriptures, see where you stand in. You know, like a while ago, and when Earl said, well, that verse 15 is the verse. So that's the verse.
Yep.
You know, you see that in there where it says, then when lust says conceive, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin it is finished, it bringeth forth death. When sin's done with you, it'll kill you. It's just like dying of cancer. It just twists you to it's done with you, so I destroyed it by both. There's death.
Yep. That's right.
It doesn't take long either.
No,
if you allow that lust or whatever, you get into that your soul, it'll destroy you. If you keep letting it feed on you, if you don't stop it, as soon as it comes to that ear, you better stop, because once you let it start entertaining it, and it goes right.
The word says to cast down every evil imagination.
Or imagination, yeah.
Right? So
cast down. That's right.
That's right.
Everyone.
That's right. So
it's hard too.
You ain't kidding. It's hard.
When I say a prayer at night, I always tell God, try to keep Satan out of my head.
Yeah. No, that's right. Because that's when Satan attacks you, is when you're trying to talk to God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not the only one that it happens to. It happens to everybody. Okay.
Yeah, it also does.
And it's a matter of practice. It's like anything. You know, we've talked about practicing a lot. But it all goes back to the same basic principles. You need to make a quality decision that this is what you want to do, and then you need to do it. Right? And doing it is a matter of walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Talk is cheap. I mean, I can say I'm anything, you know, but
you know, the simple
your,
thing,
your walk says who you are.
The simple thing about it is, if you think about it, it's not that hard. Just be kind, gentle,
and
do the right thing.
That's it.
If you keep that focused, it's not that hard.
That's right.
It's not hard.
Really.
But Satan wants you to think it's hard.
Yeah.
And he wants you looking at it and saying, so, well, it's not fair. There's people do this, then people do that. But it's not fair to what? It's not fair. You can use that as strength and say, and thank God that you're stronger than that person. You're not living in that sin.
That's right.
You know, they say it's not fair. That person's got more now when they're 25 than I had when I was 40. Well, what's not fair about that? They worked hard. You're going to condemn them for working hard and getting started. Or you might even condemn them because their parents signed for them to get a house and your parents didn't sign. No. But Satan will throw those fiery darts and say, oh, look at that. That's not fair. Oh, look at that. Oh, they got much better starting you. Well, look at the job they got. You know, Satan's throwing all of them. And like Rose said, you pray, said, Lord, keep them away from me. But you know, you got to say, like Jesus said, when Satan tried to talk to Peter, and when it was Jesus and Peter, well, Jesus didn't say, Peter, don't listen to that stuff, because Satan was trying to aggravate Jesus with some of the things that Peter. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So when Satan tries to bug you with a bunch of stuff and thoughts, just say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. He's got to go and just start worshiping God. When he does that to me, I just tell him, Lord, I'm so thankful that I know that you're the one and only true God, and you alone will I worship and praise and give thanks to, and I've got everything that we have because of you. You know, that gives Satan a migraine.
I tell you what, there are times when, and this is true, there are times when the devil attacks you so much and wants you to do other stuff that's not right. And the trick, one of the tricks is, you'll be walking along and the devil will be attacking you and say, oh, look at the fish. You know, oh, aren't they pretty? The idea is you focus on something else than what the devil's doing to you, right?
And, when you see
and I don't care if it's the fish, a TV, a picture, you know, the paddle
anything.
Fan, you know, counting your fingers, you know, whatever it takes, you know, you just...
But when he does that, like if you use a fish for an example, or if it's the trees that you're looking at, beautiful flowers, just say, Lord, you made those flowers so beautiful.
That's right.
Just start giving God the glory for them, and that makes Satan that much mad.
That's right.
Because the Bible says, if you submit yourself unto God, and you see God in that, and said, and resist Satan, and don't give those Satan any. Credit for any of that stuff at all.
Right.
He's got to flee from you because the Bible says so.
See, God works on the spirit. Satan works on the flesh.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. But you know, when the devil attacks your mind, sometimes you get down to the point where there's nothing around you and you start counting your fingers and stuff like that. You know, I mean, whatever, right?
It can work on you too.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you can tell. A lot of times you can tell, like you say you're praying, and Satan will start throwing all this crap in your head.
That's right.
And I always go, all right, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of my mind.
Yep.
That's what I have to do, because yep. I don't want to entertain what he's talking about.
Right.
I'm going to get back to what I'm
That's right. If he has his way, you'll burn up your whole prayer time thinking about whatever he wants
whatever,
you to do.
Whatever it is.
That's right.
It's not necessarily bad things.
That's right.
It's just he's trying to get you not stay focused on
prayer.
On a
railroad track.
Right. You stay positive. Like I was telling my lawyer today, we were talking, you know, and he was saying, you know, since I had my neck surgery, how well I have done. He says, you know, your doctors even say. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I says, we're believers. And I said, when we pray and we're believing, we're very positive people. I said, I expected to do well, you know,
That's
when I
right.
had my surgery. I says, when I got up that next day and walked around, I heard all those other people moaning and groaning in there, and I got up and I walked. I said, sure, I may be hurting.
Yeah.
But I didn't moan or groan. I
walked past the groaners.
We have to, I told him, I said, I don't care how much you're hurting, we go on.
That's right.
I says, and that's why my husband and I believe we're very positive.
Right.
And I said, that's why we do well. I said, the Lord, you know, the Lord is good. So I just testified on the way up to Wilmington today, you know, and I thought, you know, why not? I said, my husband is doing remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, but I said,
I
we're positive. We're believers, you know, and I said, it works. You know, and I said, I can't, you know, in a way I told him I can't help but be good because God has blessed me with doing good.
That's right.
You know, but, you know, when you go before a lawyer or a case, you know, they're wanting to see the bad side of you.
That's right.
But I have no bad sides right now.
That's right.
You know, most everything is good, you know, so.
Greater is he that is in you than he
yeah.
that is in
Amen.
The world.
Amen.
You know, he just right. looked at, I mean, you know, but that, you know, to give him a testimony why I am doing so good.
That's right.
I mean, what do you say? I says, do you want me to tell you a lie?
That's right.
You know? I says, I'd rather tell the truth
yep.
than a lie.
Don't have to remember the truth.
That's right.
You got to remember a lie to cover up a
yeah.
lie.
Yeah.
You know, I told a minister one time, we was talking, and he was talking about somebody didn't could remember this far back on this and that. And I looked at him and said, yes, I want to tell you something. You can remember things that happened 20 years ago. You can ask your congregation, every one of them, that's like 40 years old, tell me something that happened 15 years ago or 30 years ago, you know, like that. I said, every one of them can tell you something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now then, ask them what last Sunday service was about.
That's right.
Because that's Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Satan will get you focused on things that means nothing, the flesh.
Right.
And like you're saying, it could be anything.
Anything.
And I told him, I said, they'll remember 20 years ago, something 20 years ago, but they won't remember last week's sermon.
That's right.
And he goes, I got him too on
yeah.
that. Because I could tell him, I wasn't trying to get him, I was just trying to
yeah.
put it where
but
it is.
And it's not just his church, it's everybody's
church. Oh, it's everybody.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that Satan's telling you, oh, look at the fish, look at the flowers, you know,
yeah.
look at that nice house over there. Get their mind off God. And
yeah.
people sit in church, and he's doing the same thing to them in church.
Yeah.
He said, oh, remember, oh, look at that kid. You remember that kid when he's 2 years old. Now
yeah.
look, he's 20. Oh, look, that kid there's married now. You remember now.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher's preaching, and you're not getting nothing.
Yeah.
Because Satan is throwing all those fiery darts.
That's right.
And they don't even know it's from Satan.
No, because they think they're just having thoughts.
It says
that's
he
right.
comes as an angel of light, and that's how he does that. Because he'll show you flowers or fish
yeah.
or somebody's kids or something in the mall and so on, say, oh, that's a good price. And you're thinking of everything but God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God. Oh, man, look at that convertible. I like to have that. Oh, I always did like those 67 or 57 Chevys or something, you know.
Let's I've got just a couple more verses in this chapter, okay?
You got
this,
seven.
Yes. Okay. I miscounted.
I got my eye on you tonight.
All right.
I'm going to tell my story after it's over.
All right.
It's Ronnie's turn. He's going to read them all.
That's right. Read them all. Start
first next week on chapter 2.
Okay.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word,
Amen.
Which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But also looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Amen.
Pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
So without sin. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back to verse 21 was the first of this section here. So, therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. What's the engrafted word? The Bible, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Receive the word of God, and this that word of God in your heart will save you from all sin, okay? If you decide to follow it,
right?
But see, the devil knows the word. He's decided not to follow it. Right?
Oh, and now he hates it.
Now he hates it, right? But see, the devil knows the word. He quotes it somewhat, but he's decided not to follow it. Okay? But verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word. Okay? This is the next one. This is number three. Doers of the word, and not hearers only.
Very important.
Deceiving your own selves. So, if you're a doer of the word, and not just a hearer of the word. See, if you're just a hearer of the word, you deceive yourself.
Right.
That's what he's just said. But if you're a doer of the word, you're taking the word and using it. You're putting it in application.
Putting action.
Okay? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his own natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he is. What is he saying? He's saying, if you don't put the word in action in your heart, you forget that you're part of God. God lives in you. Right? He says, you'll forget that if you don't put word in action in your heart. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So, if you're a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, you're not blessed.
Right. Because you're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything. I mean, if all you're doing is hearing the word, and then you forget it, but you don't apply it, you're not blessed.
Well, there's a lot of good Christians that do hear the word, but they don't. They just keep it.
That's
instead
right.
Instead of sharing it. I mean, they're good people.
Yeah.
They love the Lord. They follow what he says to do. But that one thing, they don't share the word with others.
Yeah.
And that's a biggie.
That is a biggie.
How are you going to let your light shine if you don't talk to somebody else
to
let them know where you stand or how to be saved or whatever?
You have to get involved.
You have to.
You have to get involved. You just simply can't sit in the pew, show up once a month or whatever, and be a child of God. You'll be a loser child of God. And nobody wants to see anybody be a loser, because all losers end up in hell, right?
Yeah.
Everybody who's a true believer wants everybody to succeed and prosper.
That's right.
Oh,
and
the
only way you're going to do that is get up off your butt, get the word, put the word in you, and then apply the word to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what he said. Don't be hearers only. You be doers.
You be doers of the word. Okay. Yep.
And that's making disciples out of when they're doers
right.
of the word.
That's right. Okay. And that was number three. Number four and five comes in 26 and 27. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. But what is he talking about by bridling his tongue? You have to control your tongue, say ungodly things.
Yeah. Right? It's up to that individual.
So that's foul language. That's saying bad things about people. Gossip. Right?
Yeah,
hurtful things. Right? Mm-hmm. All of those things are ungodly things. Right? The words that come out of your mouth should grab people and lift them up and bring them closer to God, not knocking them down. Right. Your words have power. Now, we believe that they have not only physical power, but spiritual power.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? But say that you go to a church that doesn't believe in spiritual power. Okay? The one thing you have to agree with is that your words are at least physically powerful. Because if you tell a kid that kid's nothing, and it'll never turn into anything, and it's just lazy, and blah, 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 blah. You know what you got? A lazy kid that's not going to do anything.
That's right, because you inbred that into
you,
them.
The power of your words kept pounding that kid until they didn't do anything.
No encouragement.
No encouragement, no one showing them the way.
Yeah, they done something. They drove him in the ground.
They drove him into the ground.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So whether you believe the words that come out of your mouth, I believe they're both physical and spiritually powerful. Okay, but say if you still believe that they're only physically powerful, then you have to understand how you treat people is how you are treated. Right? The word says what goes around comes around, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Verse 27. This is the 1, 2, 3, the fifth one. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Once again, keep the sin out, unspotted from the world, right? Keep the sin out of your life.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And once again, he's saying, be involved. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you get in there and help them.
Yeah.
Not just simply visit, hi, how you doing? You know, okay, I want to go see the next guy. You know, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about getting in the ball game, helping people, lift them up, do things for them.
Yeah, to
right?
just be a little big kindness.
Kindness,
all it takes is
simple, basic kindness and stuff like that. I mean, it's like, you know.
But there's a lot of lonely people out there.
There's a lot of lonely people.
They don't have to be seniors either.
That's
there's
right.
There's a lot of young people that are lonesome.
Yep.
And if they just need somebody to talk to, because there's a lot of people today don't have people to really talk to.
That's right.
You know? And it's
that's
a shame. It really
right.
is a shame. And you can feel, I know when I meet a lot of people, you can really feel the need of when people want to just talk with you. You
yep.
just feel
yep.
it.
Yep.
The
yep.
loneliness in them, you
yep.
know? And you can just talk with them. Just encourage them. I know when Earl came, he gave me a cup of coffee. Everybody encouraged me. I got a cup of coffee from Earl.
But sometimes it's the simple stuff that helps, though,
yeah,
you know?
It does. I mean, it
you
just perks
you
right
that,
up.
You?
Huh?
I'd pray to that, didn't you? Get her a water. No, I'm getting her coffee. Say, get her a water.
Well, I got to thinking when I got bottled, I says, should I put sugar or cream in it? I says, no, I'm just put cream because she's already sweet.
that was a good idea.
Was I right?
No, I take sugar.
Oh, I got it wrong again.
Nice try, though.
I thought you did put sugar because it tastes sweet.
And then maybe they put it by accident. Maybe they read.
Or maybe he forgot to think that it was sweet and then put sugar in.
No, I just told him cream because that's the way I drink mine. Just a little bit of cream, no sugar.
If it's chilly down there in the morning, she wouldn't know the difference. She just knows it's warm.
Warm. That helps. Okay.
We start on chapter 2 of James. And
we're
going to
start
first.
Chapter 2 next week.
And I'll read first.
Do you see how this all applies to what we're talking
yes.
about here?
Mm-hmm.
These are all basic principles that help you operate in love. And these here, this James chapter 1 and chapter 2, I mean, this is just like one right after the other. He's just laying it out. This is, and how many times has he already told you, walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You have to apply this. You have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And he just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
So when we get done here, I know there's a lot of little steps in the middle here that sound like they could be individual ones by themselves, but they all lead to a big step where he tells you, there's 8 different places in here where he says, if you don't do this, you have nothing with God, is basically
right.
What he's saying.
That's what I mean. It's act of kindness is the best thing you can do, is show them, just show them love.
Yep.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.